flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right. Yesterday was a landmark day because Art Rooney II spoke. I'm not sure why it was a secret, but it was something that nobody could say anything about until 2 o'clock when Art spoke. We have this broken down into a bunch of clips that we can simply riff off here, City Limits. So why don't I hand the reins to you? You pick a clip. And we'll go. We have Bob Grove at noon talking Penguins. We have the Limitless Express later in the show, our little trip around the NFL. But this is gigantic news when Art talks, and he covered a variety of topics.
And he was asked pretty frequently about Mike Tomlin on why Tomlin is still the coach and also on Tomlin's messaging. This is why Rooney is sticking with Mike Tomlin.
When you look at how many games Mike has won in this league, you don't win that many games if you're not a good coach. And, I know he's frustrated like we all are in terms of not being able to take that next step. But, we still feel good about him being our, the leader and, still think he has the strengths that he always had in terms of, being able to lead a team. So, the other side of the coin is when you look at the fact that we have 6, 7, 8 teams a year that turn their coaches over, when you have a good coach, you just try to keep building with them.
Man, there's a lot in that little clip. Who are these 6, 7, 8 teams that Art's talking about?
The Bears, the Jets, New Orleans.
Yeah, right. So in other words, most of them are the same teams that he's keeping company with in terms of how long their playoff win drought is?
Pretty much.
Has anybody told Art? And that revealed a lot there. Because I mentioned earlier in the show that the Steelers, Art in particular, I believe, is operating out of fear. In some ways, it's understandable. When you go from 1933 to 1972 without a playoff win, you want to talk about a playoff winless streak.
We do not live in our fears.
Yes, you do. That's a long time, and that's scarring, and that's something you never, ever, ever want to go back to. And that's you're resolved. We are never, ever going to go back to being the laughingstock of the NFL. That will never happen here again. This ain't bad compared to that. We win 9, 10 games, we get in the playoffs more often than not. I get the mode of thinking there, especially if your family is the one who's been running the Steelers, and that was the case for, 40 years. I get it. But it can't still be your mode of operation. It just can't be that anymore. Those days are gone. But more to the point, and this applies to the Penguins as well, Do you understand that every one of your Lombardi trophies was born of that kind of suffering and that kind of losing? Certainly the first four. The last two were born of having a losing season. The great irony of this non-losing streak is the person most responsible for it, Ben Roethlisberger, was born of a losing season. And here's what else I would say to Art is that Mike Tomlin does have a losing season. It's called the postseason. He's 8-11, Art. Believe me, I understand operating out of fear. I've practically made a life of it, for God's sakes. But I've also learned that rarely do you really get what you want or solve your issues or live the kind of life you want to live when you're constantly operating out of fear. I never want to go back to what I was 40 years ago or 30 years ago. I have something pretty good right now. What's on the other side of that if I get rid of it? Meaning Mike Tomlin. This isn't that bad. This is okay. We're outperforming the mean. And by the way, Art commented on his brother Jim's comments yesterday. Do we have that clip by any chance? If not, I can paraphrase.
Here it is.
You know, Jim speaks for himself, and I'm happy that he's doing good selling his book.
Doing well with the book. New York Times number one bestseller for Jim.
Okay. I happen to believe that Jim gave us a window into Art's philosophy on the Steelers, and I thought Art enacted it yesterday, and that's what I'm talking about here. Operating out of, this is pretty good. We never want to go back there. What would be on the other side of Mike Tomlin? What would that be like? Would it be a world of Browns and Jets and Cardinals and Raiders? Art, you're already there. There's seven other teams that have gone as long or longer than you without winning a playoff game. And I might add, you haven't been competitive in one. Their names are the Cardinals and Jets and Raiders and Bears and Panthers and Dolphins and Pittsburgh Steelers. You're already there. You're living your fear. The fear is here. And then I think there might be a fear, and I mean this respectfully. I think there may be some fear on Art's part that he would be betraying his father who hired Mike. That he might view that as some sort of betrayal. All of which is holding the franchise back. And, you know, the idea of sort of scoffing at these 6 to 8 teams that change coaches every year. Not all of them do it just because they're bad. There's a team on the other side of the state called the Eagles who change coaches pretty frequently. I think they've had 4 in the last 12 years. All of them have been successful to one degree or another, but it wasn't good enough there. They operate with no fear of the future. They certainly operate with no attention to whether they've outperformed the mean over the past quarter century. Andy Reid outperformed the mean of almost every team while he was in Philly for 14 years. Most teams in NFL history he outperformed. This dude won 11, 11, 12, 12, 13, 10, 11, 10 games. He went to 5 conference title games. He went to a Super Bowl. Then when he bottomed out at 4-12, the Eagles didn't say to themselves, man, all these other teams that are switching coaches, we don't want to be that. When you have a good coach, what was it Art said at the end? When you have a good coach, you keep him and work with him? The Eagles had a really good coach named Andy Reid. They decided enough was enough. They wanted to win titles. They were willing to walk through their fear and see what was on the other side. And you know what? They took a gigantic risk with Chip Kelly, a guy who was going to bring a creative is one word for it, crazy offense to the NFL. You know, 7 seconds or left or less type stuff from the Phoenix Suns, you know? Just run and gun. That's what we're going to try to do. Something's never been seen before in this league. And guess what? He won a division. They went from 4-12 to 10-6 in Chip Kelly's first year. He won 10 games. He won 10 the next year. It's not bad. 10 games, right? Aren't the Steelers saying now this isn't that bad? In so many words, win a division, go to the playoffs one year. Well, guess what? In year three, they decided enough was enough. Nice experiment. Maybe in cities like Pittsburgh, they're going to give out statues for 10 wins and a playoff spot. Not here. We're shooting for something bigger. So when Chip Kelly got off to a bad start in year three, they moved on to Doug Peterson. And in year two, he beat Belichick and Brady at the very height of their powers in the Super Bowl. Did what very few could ever have dreamed of. They did it. Went 13-3 and won the Super Bowl. Then Doug Peterson went 9-7, made the playoffs both years. On the other side of the state, they're happy with that. Not here in Philly. First year he didn't make the playoffs, he's out. First year. What did Art just say? When you have a good coach, you stick with him. You work with him. Philly doesn't. They had a guy who hung 41 on Belichick and Brady and beat him in a Super Bowl and went to the playoffs three straight years. Won the division in 2019. Fired Doug Peterson in 2020. Willing to live through their fears. Work through their fears, not operate out of their fears. Not run a fear-based franchise. They moved on. They didn't stick with a coach just because he was good. They wanted something more. They went to Nick Sirianni. Goes 9-8, goes to the playoffs. Goes 14-3, gives the Chiefs everything they can handle in the Super Bowl. Another cheap call against them. And then goes 11-6 last year, and you have people talking about getting rid of him. They lost the wild card game after 11-6 when the year before they went to the Super Bowl, and it didn't seem crazy. Because that's the way they do it in Philly. Like, nobody would have been surprised if Nick Sirianni was fired after last season. Beginning of this season, the game where he's biting back at his home fans. People saying, man, this is the end for Sirianni. Well, he goes 14-3, wins the division, and he's back in the Super Bowl. And guess what? That dude has a losing season next year? You're going to hear, and it'll be believable, that they might get rid of him. A guy who's 48-20 with two Super Bowl appearances in his first 4 years. They don't have the owner sitting there in Philly saying, next year, if they're 5-12, oh, he's a good coach, you know, we're just going to stick with him. You know, there's 6 to 8 other teams who go through coaches every year. We're not one of them, are we? We're going to stick with our guy. He's a good coach. Art, there's lots of good coaches out there. Many, many, many good coaches. You're living in your fears. Look at the other side of the state. They don't operate out of fear. They don't operate out of how your mutual fund of a franchise has operated over the last 25 years with a 4% return. They want to get rich now, every year. Every year, no fear. That's their motto. I don't know what this team's is. Come join us in high-end mediocrity. It's fun living here. You wouldn't believe how great it is to beat our chronically low expectations every year by a game or two and then get blown out of the playoffs and then tell the world in monotone that your coach is pretty good and, man, you don't want to be one of those 6-8 teams at the bottom. Actually, you do, by the way. That's the other great irony. The Eagles were 4-11-1 in 2020, and guess what, man? Everybody lived to tell about it. Everybody did. They all survived in Philly. It was horrible. It was 4-11-1, but it didn't portend 30 years of losing. It didn't mean the end of the franchise. Everybody survived. It's okay. It's the law of the football universe. It's the law of the universe in general. What expands must contract. The Eagles took their medicine, fired their coach, and they're in their second Super Bowl in 4 years since they sunk to 4-11-1. Art Rooney's afraid. And I say that almost more out of relating to it and out of compassion than criticism. He's afraid of what's on the other side of Mike Tomlin. He's afraid of what the past brought his family and the Steelers for all those years. When in reality, the sinking to the bottom, all the badness, brought them every single one of their Super Bowl trophies. That's the amazing part of this. Fear distorts reality. Fear talks to us in a way that makes things unreal. And fear's favorite question begins with these two words, what if? What if? What if you went back to the way it was in the 40s and 50s and 60s? What if you had a losing season? Oh my God. What if you moved on from a coach who has a 63% winning percentage? What if? What if? What if? What if? That's ruling the Steelers right now, and you're paying for it out there. You're paying for it. When a team, you could hop in a car and drive 5.5 hours, and yes, I've made it to Philly in 5.5 hours, they operate with no fear. They live what Mike Tomlin claims to live, which is we don't live in our fears. Yeah? Then why'd you punt on 4th and inches when you're already down 7-0 and give the ball back to Lamar Jackson? Did you see Andy Reid the other day on his own 39? Early in the game with a full yard, maybe a little more, going for it, not punting. Some franchises, some teams really don't live in their fears. Others do, and what a cruel irony that is, if indeed it's an irony, is that the coach whose motto is we don't live in our fears is actually what the franchise does every single year. It's actually the franchise theme. We're the Steelers. We live in our fears. 412 928-9370. I didn't mean to go on that long of a rant, City Limits, and I apologize heartily.
It was an incredible one.
Thank you.
I would not want to even step in your way. I had a good time sitting here in my sitting limits chair and having a front row seat.
Man, I really believe all that. And again, from personal experience, I can relate to what I think Art is going through.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, in keeping with this theme that we have of Art Rooney II operating a fear-based franchise that claims to not be living in its fears, Bob Pompiani, my friend, my coworker, the man who this show is named for, as a matter of fact, the Pomp and Joe Show, had a separate interview with Art, is my understanding. Limits and asked him about the proposed Mike Tomlin trade. And I'm paraphrasing Art when I say we shut that down pretty quickly, didn't have interest. How about that? I mean, it's not a surprise,
no.
But I'm still sort of wondering why you wouldn't at least want to hear what somebody would offer. It's also very fascinating to me that Tomlin had a no trade clause put in his contract as a coach. Isn't it?
So
I mean, he may have been thinking or who's ever representing him a long time ago. I'm assuming this has been in there for a while, that if they ever want to get rid of me, it won't be by firing, because the Steelers will never want to admit that they fired a coach, but it might be through something like a trade.
This is probably an awful comparison, but I'm going to make it the best that I possibly can. You know that I run the Wiffle Ball League in the summer, and I'm a captain on my team and stuff like that, and we actually do trades. We trade our friends.
Yes. Does anybody have no trade clauses?
No, but I'm pretty firm about a couple players on my team are not getting traded. But at the same time, when we throw out hypothetical trades, I want to know what other captains of other teams, other coaches, other GMs in the NFL say. Think of the people that are on my squad, the people that I have, that work with me, that play with me.
Right.
Don't you think that Art would want to know what other teams would be willing to offer for Mike? Like, how much? This is what we value Mike to be. But what would another team value him as?
Yes.
What would they be willing to part with to make him their coach? And for him not even to, you know, make it a factor of no curiosity in that? I just don't understand it.
Me neither. Now, that's way different than approaching Mike, which I would have done. But once you approach him, then everything changes, because then he gets the idea, well, they don't want me anymore. But just to ask the Bears to have a negotiation for a little while and say, I'm interested. I'm glad you called. What would you offer? Like, what do you think he's worth? What are we talking about here?
Even if you don't have intentions of trading Tomlin, or like the full intentions of it, and you would need heaven and earth to be moved to be able to trade Tomlin, I don't understand why a conversation on the peripheral would not be a good thing just to gauge interest and gauge judgment from someone else.
Man, I agree. It's someone who's very comfortable and even stubborn in his ways, and more to the point, there's only one thing in the NFL more important than a head coach, and that's a quarterback. And I'm not sure that trading Tomlin might not have been the best way to get your quarterback. This is the Bears we're talking about. They gave up the equivalent of a first-round pick for Chase Claypool. We've seen other coaching trades in the NFL where teams have given up 2 first-round picks. Do we know the Bears are going to be any good next year? They might stink again. And you might, through trading Tomlin to the Bears, have gotten a pick that you could use when the draft is in your city to take your future quarterback as a little added bonus. But the point really is that might have been the best avenue for you to go get the guy that you need. And I think it would have been a win-win-win. The Bears would have gotten what they wanted, which is a real coach, a proven coach, a guy with a 630 winning percentage who carries enormous clout in the NFL. The Steelers might have gotten their franchise quarterback through this. Certainly, they would have gotten many assets to replenish their C-plus roster. And they would have been able to move on from a coach without firing him and having everything that they fear comes with that. And then Mike Tomlin might have made out the best of all. You know, he would have gotten a chance to start fresh, start a new life with a franchise quarterback, potentially, in Caleb Williams. Go be the hero somewhere. Instead of a guy that so many people just want to move on from because it's the same thing year after year after year. It's stale. It's done. We all saw it last night with the Penguins in San Jose. Okay, that's it. It's done. Didn't all of us feel that during the Ravens game? When wherever you're listening from as a Steeler fan, you had to sit there and watch a guy in Kirk Herbstreit accurately say that your team looked like it was quitting? Wasn't that rock bottom? It wasn't for Art. He just doesn't want to be one of those 6-8 teams that switches coaches all the time.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. There's nothing. They're just going through the motion.
40 million people heard that and watched it. That wasn't bottom. Art, you don't even listen when another team calls with what they would trade for your coach. You just hang up because of your fear of being the Jets. Someone asked me in my mailbag today, calls himself Bananas Foster, I might add, Limits.
Very frequent commenter on the text line and on Twitter to us, Mr. Bananas. He goes bananas every time he hears a good take.
I'm going to call him Mr. Foster. He says, fast forward to this time next year, and the Steelers just finished off another season like this year. Or, and this is my editorial, every other year. Could MT be shipped out or even resign? I couldn't write ha 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 enough times to start my answer. And then I said, you know better than that, Dr. Foster. If anything, Art will sign him to a new deal and give him a stake in the franchise. I mean, is this guy kidding me? God bless me. We can all wonder about that, but it ain't happening. Let's go to the phone lines, oh limitless wonder.
All right, let's first go to Sean. He wants to talk about the what-if situation that you threw out there earlier.
Hey, guys, how are you doing? Hey, first off, I love your show. I listen to it every day. And this is the first time I've actually gained enough, got to call you and talk to you about this. But you struck a chord with me when you were talking about fear and the what-if. I mean, the what-if will destroy you. It will destroy you in every aspect. And you got to deal with the what, is in front of you. And I think in order to do that, you have to be honest with yourself. And I just don't think that they're being honest with themselves with the way things are going right now.
Man, I couldn't agree more. They think it's okay. It's at least good enough. It's not that bad. And I'm going to talk at 1 o'clock today about the way in which Art delivered the message, which I thought was, at least if I were a fan, as frustrating as anything else. Does he sound frustrated? Does that sound like a man who's had enough? Who's, you know, opening the window and yelling to the world like the movie Network, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore? Does he sound like that? Play any one of his clips, Limits. I don't care what one. Does this man sound like he's raging about the Steelers not even having gotten out of the first quarter in any of their last six playoff games, missing the playoffs 40% of the time just about over the last 8 years, not being competitive in a playoff game since 2016, watching a game in which Kirk Herbstreit is telling the world they're quitting against their arch rival, pretending this is good enough? Does this sound like a guy who's had enough?
This was Art's opening statement.
Obviously, it was a disappointing end of the season. Losing five in a row was not what we expected, especially after getting off to a good start. So we have a lot of work to do to improve going into next season.
That's enough.
After the
That's enough. Man, he's had enough, huh? He's pounding, he is pounding the fist this time. This time he's had enough. So heads are going to roll because we can't get past the first quarter of a playoff game.
The quote that stuck with me the most was the question that was asked, are you closer to a championship team right now compared to even just a year ago?
You know, it's hard to say. You know, after losing five in a row, it's hard to say we're closer. You know, I think the biggest piece of the puzzle I keep saying is, you know, we've got to address this quarterback position. And I think when you look around and you kind of see the teams that are at that next level, you know, that's where they are. And they're there for that reason. So we've got work to do.
That's what's most startling to me. Like, no, we're not going to make a lot of coaching changes. It's going to be just very small ones, if anything. But he doesn't know if they're closer to being a championship team than a year before. So then why not make moves? Why not do something different?
He echoed his brother Jim in that and everyone else on the planet. They don't have the quarterback. But that was very interesting that he just blatantly admitted neither one of the, to my way of hearing it, neither one of these guys is the answer either.
Right. That's the way I took it. Like, they want to bring one of them back, and he said he doesn't want it just to be a one-year deal with Fields or Wilson. To me, that means that he would rather, in Art's mind, bring one of the two guys back on probably a two-year contract, and whether it be this year or next year, draft a quarterback, have Fields or Wilson be the bridge for a season, and go from there after you draft somebody and develop them.
I mean, they're living in quarterback hell. They really are, and this is as bad as it gets. Not that they don't have the worst quarterbacks in the league, but you know what I mean. And that's another reason why I would have. They're desperate. They're as desperate as it gets. And a quarterback is more important than a coach, which is why I would have listened to the Bears. I don't know by what avenue you're going to get one. I don't. Teams have gotten creative, you know. Detroit and L.A. did with the trade they made. L.A. won a Super Bowl out of it. Detroit still might, although I'm not the biggest Jared Goff fan. They both decided to take a gigantic swing. Other teams have gone in the draft and done unexpected things, like the Ravens taking Lamar Jackson in the first round. The Eagles, who everybody thought might have had a franchise guy, although he was coming off a bad season, and Carson Wentz, they took Jalen Hurts in the second round. Man, the Kansas City Chiefs went from 27 up to 10 to get Patrick Mahomes. Traded away a first-round pick. Nobody knew what he was going to be. The Steelers went from 20 to 10 to take an undersized inside linebacker. And then other teams just stink and wind up getting their guy, like the Bengals and Bills and Texans. So I guess that would have been my question to Art. I know it's easy in retrospect. I'm just thinking about it now. Is Art, you just said that you got to get this quarterback thing straightened out. By what avenue do you imagine that to be possible? Is there a conventional avenue? Because it sure doesn't seem possible in the draft where you guys draft. Maybe, but rare. Is there anybody to trade for? Is there anybody on your roster? Is there a high-priced free agent? I mean, I'm sorry, Art, but when I consider that situation, I don't see any hope at the quarterback spot, which you say accurately is really the only spot. Certainly, it's where you begin. Would trading TJ Watt be an option to get a high draft pick? I'd do anything to try to get that quarterback because it's very clear that without one, you have no chance. Just because you have one doesn't mean you're going to win. But without one, you have no chance. And in the spot that you're in, you better get awfully creative awfully soon if anything's going to change.